If you're just joining us, welcome again. We're super glad that you're with us. We know that it's a weird time that we're in, and part of that is social distancing. So we just want to go over a couple of things that we can do to greet each other in this new weird world that we're living in.
Yeah, so Ashley, what are some ways that we can greet each other without like physically like touching each other?
I think we can still do an elbow bump.
Elbow bump. Yeah, that's a great idea. You know why that's so great?
Why?
Because you can't lick your elbow.
You can't,
so
right.
there's
totally
no chance of that, of any virus or anything getting to you from the elbow bump. So.
Yeah. What about you? You got an idea?
I like the classic peace sign. Okay. I do that a lot. My students make fun of me for that. So they'll see me do that. They go, what are you doing?
That's perfect.
And I'm like, I don't know where I got it from, but it works.
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah. What about, is there another one?
Maybe some like finger guns.
Yeah, that, I don't know if that would work here, but I know if I was back home in Oklahoma or Kansas, like, that would definitely
the
be...
The finger guns
we
are
did that a lot
there.
In Kansas, so yeah, so that would definitely work.
Okay, any other suggestions?
Yeah, I love... I'm a personal fan of just the hello.
Okay.
And not, like, I like you, but not enough to, like, physically hug you. I'm not a hugger or anything like that, and so this is actually great for me.
Good.
Yeah.
For all of the non-physical contact people, you can just say hello and nobody will know the difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, if you're just joining us, welcome. We're super glad that you're here. We're just getting ready for our service that starts at 10, hanging out with Brandon, our high school pastor.
Yeah, and this just gives us something to do before the service and be able to interact with each other. And so, What else do we have for them this morning?
Well, Brandon, I think we need to talk about the importance of washing our hands. You're hearing that a lot right now. It's super important to be washing your hands and not touching your face in this time where it feels like germs are spreading so quickly and this virus is so active. So we know that that is a big deal. Brandon, do you know how to wash your hands?
I'm kind of embarrassed to say this. I know how to wash my hands, but... I'm not that good at washing my hands. I probably don't do it as much as I should. Like, I don't wash my hands before I eat. And I know that's, like, the number one, like...
Yeah.
No, and so I'm, like, lucky right now, like, that I'm not sick or anything like that. But I've been washing my hands a lot more. So
that's
I think
good.
It'd be good for you to kind of just kind of give me a... Like a quick lesson so I can see if I've been doing it right.
Like a hand washing 101 for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. If you're just joining us, welcome. Brandon just told me that he doesn't know how to wash his hands, so we're going to do a quick hand washing 101 as we get ready for our worship service to
start
in the next 15 minutes.
If you have kids in the room, this might be a good opportunity for them to... learn the proper way to wash your hands.
Right. So you're going to turn on the water and get your hands wet.
Okay.
And then you're going to turn off the water.
Yes. Being from like Arizona and being from California, we know the importance of turning off the water while you're
I can't even remember the last time it rained here. So we're trying to save our water.
Yeah.
Turn on the water, wash your hands, turn off the water, get some soap. You're going to rub your hands for 20 seconds. Should we show them what 20 seconds looks like?
I don't know. Should we?
Should we?
Let's do it.
Okay, ready?
Okay, I can't do
you
that.
You can't do it, okay.
That awkward silence is not working for me.
A good way to know that you've been washing your hands for 20 seconds is to sing Happy Birthday out loud or in your head twice. If it's not your birthday, it's probably someone's birthday, right?
Yeah, but I'm a fast singer, so does that work?
That's why you sing it twice.
Because, like, I like to save time.
Yeah.
And so, like, I view hand washing as a waste of time. So, like, I try to go real quick. That doesn't work?
No, we got to shift your perspective on hand washing.
So efficiency does not matter when it comes to washing hands.
Nope.
Okay.
You need the full 20 seconds to kill those germs, and you got to get every area of your hand. So interlace those fingers. Make sure you get your thumbs, the backs of your hand, the beginning of your wrist to get it nice and clean.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Hey, do you know the difference between hand washing and using hand sanitizer?
No.
You don't?
No. Do you?
Man, I'm actually smarter than you in an area. I don't know the difference, but I know there is a difference at least. And I know that it has to be at least, this may be wrong, but I think it's 60% like alcohol, like for the hand sanitizer to actually work.
Oh.
But I don't think, so there is a difference.
There
I don't know
difference.
The exact, I don't know what it is, but I do know there's a difference.
I have been told if you have soap, hand soap, use hand soap. But if there's no hand soap, use hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer is a good backup plan. We want to use soap for sure.
That's
so.
Right. And if you can't remember the last time you washed your hands, you should probably just get up right now and go wash them again. Right? Service doesn't start for another 13 minutes. So go wash your hands right now. Come back and join us.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's perfect.
And Ashley's going to, I'm hoping, will you be able to, I was just thinking, this would be a great time for you to share your best middle school joke.
My best middle school joke?
Oh, I know you have jokes.
My best middle, well, I'll just tell you my favorite joke of all time.
Okay.
Why did the cookie go to the doctor?
Why?
Because he was feeling crummy.
Oh, those are pity laughs right now.
If you're just joining us, please don't go away because my joke was so bad. We're so excited that you're with us. Service is starting in about 9-11-ish minutes. So we are looking forward to you being with us. We're sorry that we can't be together. We know that this is a really weird and bizarre season that we're in as a country, as a world, and as a church.
Yeah, it's just our world seems to be kind of flipped upside down, and it's amazing that like 2 weeks ago, Ashley, like it's like everything was normal.
Yeah,
and it was just like a blink of an eye, our life just got thrown into chaos.
Yeah,
and I know many of you are probably feeling a lot of that, and so we're not trying to make light of this situation. We know this is a serious situation, but we want to just be able to have fun together, in the meantime, and just. And come together as a church family, even though we're not physically here to worship together.
That's right.
And Ashley, like, so, like, with this, like, whole, like, the coronavirus happening so quickly, how have you seen, like your life change in, like, the last couple weeks? Have you seen anything different, like, anything out of the ordinary?
I mean, on Friday morning, there were, like, no cars gone in the parking lot in my apartment complex. People are just working from home. They're not going out as much. There are people on walks more. I've seen that increase.
I've seen that a lot, too. Yeah. So if you're driving, you want to be careful because there's a lot of people in the streets.
Right.
I've noticed that.
Well, I mean, and here we are, right? Church is looking different than it ever has here at MPC, and we're grateful that you're joining us for this transition. The worship service is going to start in the next 9-ish minutes
I'm
or
pumped.
So.
I'm excited. So excited. Yeah,
it's going to be different, but good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
For
what
sure.
about you, Brandon? Has your life looked different?
I like to practice social distancing. Like, I like people, but I don't like to be close to people, like hugging and all that stuff. So that part, like, it's kind of the same for me. But I've seen it in many, not including work. I mean, I've seen that, like, change drastically.
Right,
because our
here
whole
we are.
Point is being with people. We love, you and I both love being with people.
Yep.
And we don't, like, that's changed. But I would say, like, it was probably, like, right when this started to, this all started to, like, accelerate.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a restaurant when we were still doing that, when that was a thing still.
Yeah.
And we left the restaurant, and there was a guy in the parking lot with with piles of toilet paper in the bed of his truck. And he was just sitting out there selling toilet paper. And I had never seen something like that before in my life. And I was like, oh gosh, this is getting real. Like that's when I knew, like, we're kind of at a moment of, like, crisis as a country. And so
for real,
it just seemed to kind of happen overnight. And I think the hardest part for me, though, is just being away from the students, and I know that's probably one of the hardest things for you, too, is just being away from the students.
Yeah, we miss you all. We miss being with you in the same place. If you're just now joining us, welcome. We're super glad you're here. Service is going to be starting in the next couple of minutes or so. But what we know that, like, in this time, most of you are, all you're probably hearing about or talking about or hearing on the news is about the coronavirus,
right? Oh, absolutely. I've had to turn off the news.
Yeah. So we just wanted to give you a glimpse of what's happening in the world that is not about the coronavirus, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So have you been paying it? Like, do you know anything that's happening in the world that's not about the virus?
I actually do. And okay. So you Jacksonville people will know this very well. Your guys' favorite quarterback, the GOAT, Tom Brady, is no longer a New England Patriot.
That's right.
He is on his way to Florida to join the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's wild.
Probably going to win two more Super Bowls.
20 years as a Patriot.
Yes, that is crazy. And so his life is changing drastically now, too.
For
and
sure.
And so Yeah, so what about you? Do you know anything in the news going on right now that's not Corona?
Well, I do know that Frozen 2 was released early on Disney Plus last week. Some of you parents are probably really grateful for Frozen 2 because it has entertained your kids for hours.
Yeah.
And some of you are probably pulling out your hair because you have Frozen 2 on repeat in your brain. Have you ever seen, how many times have you seen Frozen, Brandon?
I have never seen Frozen, but I will say, I do know one character.
You do?
Yeah, he's the guy that sings Summer. Uh-huh. Is it Ardolf?
Olaf?
Olaf. Olaf. I was close.
You weren't close.
But yeah, he sings that Summer song.
He does.
I have seen that, so I'm not completely irrelevant when it comes to
Frozen. That's good. I'm glad you're in tune with what's happening. We're just getting, we're about ready for service to start. Just a couple more minutes. While we wait for service to start at 10 a.m., let me tell you something else that's happening in the world that's not about the coronavirus. There is an aquarium in Chicago.
Really?
Yes.
There's an aquarium in Chicago?
Yes.
That is news.
There's an aquarium in Chicago, and because all of these public places are shut down to try and protect people from the virus, there's no people at the aquarium. So the aquarium keepers, the zookeepers, I'm not sure, they let the penguins just roam around in the aquarium. They just like went on a little field trip, walked around, saw all their friends. Isn't that cool?
Okay, I know our world is flipped upside down, but how is that news?
It's just something that's fun and light.
Oh, I'm just saying, I don't get how that made headlines.
Because we need all of the joy we can get right now, Brandon.
Okay, good to know. Okay. Is there anything else?
Yeah. People during this time around the country have been putting up their Christmas lights again. We know that some of you maybe just took them down 6 weeks ago, but they've been putting them back up to spread joy and light in this season. Because you can't just hang out with each other, right, in person quite as much anymore. Less than 10 and is the countrywide suggestion.
Yeah. I would say that's definitely newsworthy. Just any opportunity as the body of Christ to bring hope to this world. I know that when I saw that, I was like, these aren't necessarily Christians that are doing that. What can I do as somebody who knows Jesus to bring hope to people that are suffering right now, who are struggling with anxiety and just the uncertainty of life right now?
Yeah, it definitely is scary to think that like we don't know what's next.
Yeah.
We don't have a real timeline of what's happening with this virus in our world. And we really need the church more than ever in this season, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we hope that you're joining us. We're excited that you're joining us.
And what's our time? Like, how close are
we
to church
service? I
think we've
got about 5 minutes.
Five minutes left.
You're
only stuck with us for five,
five more minutes,
believe it or not. So do not tune out,
because
this is not church. This is the pre-church show with Brandon and Ashley.
Yep.
And we've been having a lot of fun with you guys.
We have, yeah.
And so we just, do not tune out. Just a couple more minutes. It's there.
Yep. Brandon, do you have any suggestions for how people can, stay sane while they're hanging out in their house for all this time? Like, what have you been doing while you're at home?
So, the gyms are closed.
The gyms are closed.
Some at-home workouts.
Yep.
For sure. I've been going on walks just because I am I don't like being stuck in one place for very long.
The Florida weather is still beautiful and sunny despite what's happening in the world, so that's great news.
If you can't be with your family right now, like if your family's out of state, like Ashley and I's are, FaceTime your family. Take this extra time to just be with them digitally, and so I've been doing a lot of that. My dad's getting tired of me calling him at work.
That's good.
So those are my suggestions.
That's good.
And then I've been eating a lot of food, which is not the I named some healthy stuff.
Sure.
The food part's not been healthy. I don't normally bake, but I've been baking.
You've been baking. I baked too. I baked a loaf of bread the other day. Yeah.
There was some easy bake stuff.
Mix?
Yeah.
You have an easy bake oven?
Yeah, I have an easy bake oven. I'm pretty good. I'm thinking about starting a restaurant.
That's awesome.
Easy, but I don't know what should I call it? Easy Bake by Gober.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. If you're just now joining us, we're so excited that you're here. We're about 3 minutes away from our worship service starting. So we hope that you hang tight with us. This is Brandon, our high school pastor. I'm our middle school director, and we are just really excited that you're with us. Church looks different now than it has in the past, but we are grateful that you're with us together while we're scattered in our own homes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Just so happy to be with everybody. Yeah. And the fact that we get to do this, even though we aren't here physically in the church.
That's right. I saw this sign driving in this morning that said better together. And then in the parentheses below it, it said separately. Right. So that's kind of what we're doing. We're better together, even though we're separate. We're about 2 minutes away from our service starting. We're excited that you're with us today.
So get the kids, bring them, get your coffee made and everything. Get ready. This is going to be an awesome church service.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
Brandon, do you have any jokes for us? Like, what is your favorite high school joke?
I've got a lot of jokes.
Your favorite family appropriate high school joke.
My joke would probably, let's see here. Why did Batman skip? What do they call? Well, no. What do you call Batman when he skips out on church?
I don't know.
Christian Bale. That one gets me every time. I love it. Like, it's so great.
Awesome. I hope Batman's at church virtually this morning.
I almost butchered the joke.
Like, you did.
And
you got
that
close.
Joke many times.
I'm glad that you didn't ruin the punchline.
I had a lot of people this week text me. They say they were excited to watch us live, and I'm pretty sure I completely just ruined their morning by that joke.
I'm sure that's not true. I'm sure that they're thrilled for your Christian Bale joke. You guys, we are excited that you're with us. We are about 1 minute away from our service starting.
We're getting close to that 60-second mark.
Yep, this is different than we've ever had church before. We have our new studio background here. We're excited that you get to see it.
Yeah, I know Matt's pumped too. I'm sure he's taken some pre-workout to like get stoked for this. Like, he is just hyped up.
Just did 20 push-ups. He's ready. His adrenaline's rushing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. So
man.
We're about 30 seconds now. So are you excited?
I'm excited.
I am.
I'm really excited.
Yeah. Do we have any other news for them at
all? My friend got a puppy last week, which, like, if there's a time in the world for a puppy, it's now. Guys, 10 more seconds till service starts.
All right, let's get this countdown together.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's welcome Pastor Matt onto the scene.
We may be...
We're early.
He's not quite ready
he's
for
not
us.
Quite
like,
ready.
Yeah, yeah. He's finishing his push-ups.
Some touch-ups, some extra push-ups. You know, Brandon.
So you're stuck with us for about 2 more minutes. No big deal.
We're happy to have you. I never finished telling them how to wash their hands. Their hands are soapy, and now they don't even know what to do.
Oh, we didn't finish that.
I should tell them the rest, shouldn't I?
Absolutely.
So you're going to go back now that your hands are nice and soapy. It's been 15 minutes of your soapy hands, so the germs are for sure dead by now. And you're going to try and turn on the faucet. If you can MacGyver a way to turn on the faucet without touching it, because your hands are clean now, that would be perfect. Then you're going to rinse them under that water. You know, it actually doesn't matter if the water's hot or cold if you wash for 20 seconds.
So, question, like, if they're worried about touching the faucet again, if they live near the St. John's River, can they just wash their hands in the river?
Can they wash?
I mean, it's clear water.
I'm going to recommend a no on that.
Okay.
But you are the boss of your own self, so if you need to wash your hands in the river, you can. But then I would probably wash them again with soap and water from your sink after
that. Good
to
know, because I did that yesterday, so.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I was out in the river, so I didn't have anything to wash my hands with, so I washed my hands in the river.
So I'm going to hand sanitizer my hands again.
Another
thing that they're talking about is how important it is to not touch your face.
That is hard. I did not realize until they made a big deal about it how much I touch my face.
Yeah.
And my contacts when they get dry.
It's like the more that you think about not touching your face, the more that you have to touch your face.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you find yourself doing it.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you're at home, I want you to tally how many times you touch your face today, because I know for me, I did that the other day. Guess how many times it was?
Seven.
With
seven,
me trying not to touch my face.
Seven.
25 times.
25?
Yes.
I feel like if that's it, that's pretty impressive.
Really?
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
That's, yeah. I know.
Can I give you an air five? Because that's a way that we can.
Yeah. Oh.
It's good.
Another way you can say hi to somebody, yeah. I realize, greet somebody.
Okay.
Is, hold on, I'm sending you a text right now.
Okay.
Just sent.
Oh.
It says hi.
It says hi. That's so nice.
So look at that. You don't even verbally communicate to say hi to somebody. So like, that is awesome.
That's good. Another way, like if you're like has the more time you spend inside with your family, the more you might feel a little bit loopy. So in that case, I would recommend some jazz hands as a hello to things up a little bit.
I'm not feeling the jazz hands. No. I don't think anyone at home is feeling the jazz
hands.
Have
you ever done jazz hands in your life?
Nope. Don't know how. I'm not coordinated enough. So.
Oh, hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. So let's put these down. We're having trouble making the comments. It looks like here, I think we're working. Greetings to everybody. We're seeing people check in. I see Greg Cruz, Claudine Owen,
Stacey Johns,
Barbara Morrow, Lauren Perkins, Krista Knott. Looks like people are joining, and we are excited about that. So let me put these down and just say to everybody, we are so glad that you are here, and we are trying to make it through these massive technical difficulties and challenge. We prefer to meet with you in person. We wish that we could be together,
yes,
right?
We do. Yeah, we really do.
How much better would that be to be in the same room?
We really do.
I mean, I think if you guys were to give coronavirus a thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah, down.
Big thumbs
down.
Double down for coronavirus.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'd rather be with you. But this, at least this technology makes it possible to the middle of this wild, wild ride that we're in with social distancing. We'll get back to that in just, just a minute. But it makes it possible for us to reach you in your homes. And so I don't know what you've been able to see or not see in the last bit of time. Sorry for the awkward start, but I think we're here now, and I think that we're going, and so we're so glad that that you're here. We want to welcome those of you that are regular members and part of our church. We're glad that you're with us.
Yes.
That you're, it's great to have you. We also potentially have people that have never been to our church or any church that are tuning in. I know the last time we did this, I had some of my friends from Ghana actually watching from Ghana.
Oh, cool.
And it was pretty cool. This morning, I got to watch some live streams from churches in Ghana where I used to live. And so people all over the world are trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
Right?
We're not alone.
We're not the only ones experiencing technical problems. We're not the only ones. And so that's pretty cool. It's like the whole global church is trying to figure out how to make this work.
Yes.
And that is wild. So anyway, we're so glad that you guys are here.
So, Matt, like, what would you say, what are some of your reflections on this whole, like, coronavirus experience?
Yeah, I have this metaphor that makes sense to me.
Okay.
I don't know if it makes sense to everyone, but it makes sense to me. The metaphor is this. You're watching a great movie or TV show.
Yeah.
Okay, it's awesome.
And
you're having a good time. And then all of a sudden, one of those emergency, breaking news, emergency broadcast comes on to give you some information about something bad that's happened. You guys ever had that happen before?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're watching that, and then all of a sudden it comes on, and it's supposed to be like this kind of one-minute bulletin, and you're like, oh, that's a bummer, whatever that bad thing happened in the world, and then it goes back to the movie, right? But I feel like we're stuck in the interruption. You know, it didn't ever go away. It came on, and it's like every minute of every day of our lives is this constant bad news update. And I just want the movie to start.
Yes.
Yeah,
I want my movie back.
Yeah. I want the movie back. So... But we until the movie starts, we're just going to make the best of this, crazy thing. And there's been some people making the best of this.
Yep.
Some enduring images to me of hope and of joy. The most profound is the Italians. Everyone's seen that video singing and making music on the balconies, and you're just finding a way to have joy in the middle of the pain. I've seen a video of people having a spontaneous dance party in the streets of San Francisco at appropriate social distances away from each other. I saw a setup in a driveway. People had like hand sanitizer and toilet paper and all these things on a table.
Hmm.
And it said, "I'm willing to share. Take what you need."
That's cool.
You know, it's just different than the people fighting over
over
meat at Publix or whatever. So that's been fun. And also the funny YouTube videos. If you haven't seen it yet, you got to watch the redneck Corona survival suit guy. Yeah, that one's pretty funny.
Okay.
So hey, listen, we're doing everything's new here. We're trying to figure it all out. Special shout outs to Mark and Jeff Anderson who built this set, and also Ann Sutton and Carla who decorated, and just, you know, our tech guys, Eddie and Jonah, just everyone trying to figure this out and make it work. We're grateful for all of that.
Yes. So. Yes, and we're still in this kingdom series, Matt, and you've been showing us these different images every week that have been on the stage or surrounding the platform that we've been able to see and kind of have helped us remember what each week has been about and different aspects of the kingdom of God. And we're in a different place right now, but maybe we can still see that image. Brandon, can you go get it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Symbol reveal. We're week 12, so we've had 11 symbols, one for each week corresponding with the scripture that we're studying. So this is symbol 12 of our series. This is what you would be seeing if you walked in the sanctuary. And I guess I should explain it, right? Our kind of the theme of the scripture that we're looking at, the beginning scripture is Colossians 1. We've been kind of studying the theme of the kingdom of God through the pages of the New Testament. Now when we get to the Apostle Paul and his writings and his life, and he speaks about how we've been rescued. In Colossians 1, verse 13, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so we're thinking about, this week we're thinking about the kingdom of God now, here and present. Next week is the kingdom future, the fullness of the kingdom that we look forward to. But right now we kind of think of the kingdom in kind of a rescue operation, that Jesus is at work bringing rescue. And it's not always the rescue that we want. That's going to be a major theme later when we do the sermon, that it's not always the rescue we want. In fact, Ashley, look at this. This is our scripture, Colossians 1:13, for he has rescued us. And right next to it, right next to it, you see verse 24 in the next column, now I rejoice in what I am suffering. You know, I don't know if you guys can see these scriptures. They're right next to each other. You have Paul talking about rescue. How we've been rescued at the same time as I have been suffering. So that's going to be a major theme of the sermon, is how is it that we can experience the rescue of God even in the context of our pain and suffering, which I think is going to be really relevant
for
the current thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So Matt, if you're watching at home, like, what do you need for this service?
Well, hopefully computers that work, and I'm hoping that you're there and that it's actually streaming and working. Maybe a cup of coffee, tea, hand sanitizer if anyone comes near you. Just squirt it on them.
Yeah.
In addition to that, maybe a Bible, a pen and paper. Another, here's a big thing. We are actually going to be serving communion.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
I know that sounds like, how can we do that? But what you need at home is bread. And if you have some kind of bread, if you don't have bread, you know, get something close, a tortilla, bagel, you know, anything. It's okay to use something different. I once did communion with, when I was in Turkey, Joy and I went on a mission trip in Turkey, and we did it with Turkish tea and pita bread.
Okay.
And on a mission trip in Mexico, we used tortillas. I mean, it doesn't matter. And so we just want to encourage you to grab some kind of bread item and some closest thing you have to juice at home, and then we will partake of that at the end of the service. But I just want to give you a heads up that you'll need that. So
cool.
Okay, let me ask you guys a question. I'm new to the live stream thing, and I don't know your experience with it, but since you're youngsters, maybe you can explain to us, how do we participate? If people are at home, is it okay for them to comment or do those little emoji things, or what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So commenting on Facebook is not like talking in church. And so we want you to do that because we want a way to be able to interact with
full permission
everybody
to
at
talk
home.
In
so
church.
You have
via
permission
comments.
To comment on the Facebook page.
But you actually do talk in church, so I've seen you.
Oh,
okay.
Whoa, that called out.
Did Bill talk to you?
I don't know. I don't know if it's true. I don't know. I'm just in the zone. So that's awesome. Okay, before you guys go, tell us what's happening with youth and children and families. I know we've done a lot of preparation for that, so give everybody kind of a heads up. It's on the website, but just can you guys walk us through?
Yeah, so our family experience to start off with, if you, after the service, there'll be an opportunity for you and your families to continue this family experience that you normally might have on Sunday mornings. So you can get all that same content and Bible lessons on our website following the service, and that will be updated updated on our website each week. Also, in addition to that, every night this week at 7 p.m., there will be an opportunity to hear a bedtime story from some of our children's volunteers. So if you tune in at 7 p.m. tonight, Pastor Jen is going to be reading a bedtime story for all of you.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. What about youth? What's happening with high school?
Yeah. So high school, we will be going, having our first ever digital Crave tonight. And yeah. I'm actually really excited about it. We've got our talk. You'll get to listen to your talk, to my talk and everything, and you'll still get to meet with your small group all through the Zoom video app. And so we're really excited. If you want to figure out how to do that as a high school student, contact your small group leader.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're going to be contacting you within the next couple hours for tonight with your link to join the discussion. And yeah. So I know the same thing's going on with middle school.
Same for middle school on Wednesday nights for Hang 10. You'll get some more information about that, but we are going to continue with talks and small groups and some kind of game or activity that's interactive from the comfort of your own home. And then for Sunday mornings, we'll be continuing our curriculum that we've been walking through, so you can do that as a family devotional after the service as well.
Yeah, and awesome. Cool. And you can find those on the website.
Yep,
Zoom has been working great. And all the names. Zoom's working great. We've had a lot of problems with the live streaming and this and that and the slides, whatever. But Zoom has been
thriving
faithful.
Right now.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, we obviously would want to be with our students in person. Sure. But this is the best that we get to do, and this is a way we can stay connected. And so we're just blessed that we have the ability to have technology to still be able to meet, even though we can't physically meet. So
awesome. Well, I think, Ashley, you're going to do a children's message.
I am, yeah.
So if you have kids at home, gather the kids right now. Kids, we're about to do a children's message for you. Then after that, we'll kind of begin kind of the bulk of the service. And so, Ashley,
thanks, guys.
Take it away.
Yeah, elbows. All right, kids, good morning. I hope that you all just now said good morning back to me really loudly from your own homes. We'll try again one more time. Good morning. Gosh, we sure do miss seeing your faces around here. I know that there have been a lot of changes that are happening, right, around here in your worlds, in church, in your home. First of all, you're not here in person with me, right? We're not all sitting on the stage together. And maybe you're feeling excited about some of the changes that are happening. Maybe you are excited that you're watching church in your pajamas right now. Or maybe you're eating breakfast while you listen, and that's cool. But maybe you're disappointed about some of the changes. Maybe they're confusing or frustrating. I know that for a lot of you, you're probably spending a little bit of extra time at home in this season, right? You're not able to go out as much or do the fun activities that you love. Maybe dance is canceled, or basketball or football are canceled, or baseball season has been put on hold, and you're feeling kind of frustrated. I would guess that at some point in the last week, either a brother or a sister or a mom or a dad has done something that has made you frustrated or annoyed you or maybe hurt your feelings. Is that true? Yeah, probably is with all that extra time together. And I would guess that at some point during that time, you too have also done something that has maybe hurt someone else's feelings. Maybe you have annoyed someone or caused someone else to be angry or frustrated. And you know what? That just shows us that we all need to be forgiven. See, forgiveness is just about not making someone else pay when they do something that hurts us or when they do something wrong. Right? And see, God forgives us, and he gives us the opportunity to learn to forgive each other and ourselves. So when you continue your family experience after service today, you'll have the opportunity to hear a story about two sons and a father and how this family learns what forgiveness means, how they practice forgiving each other, how they practice giving forgiveness and receiving forgiveness when they might be hurt or frustrated, and how maybe you can practice forgiveness in your lives too. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can be together even though we are physically apart. I just ask that you would help us learn to forgive each other, that you would help us see the opportunities that we need to forgive, and that you would help us ask for forgiveness from you and others when we need forgiveness. In your holy name we pray, amen. Awesome. I'm going to have Matt and Jeff join us back on the set at the table. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That was great, Ashley.
Thanks.
Love that. I was thinking that wasn't just for kids. That was certainly for me, too,
yeah.
In this last week with the craziness of everything that's going on. And I've been interacting with a few of you on the Facebook Live, and so thank you for watching. Good to see you. Saw Rob Rate tuning in out there, Walker, whole bunch of people. Leo from Ghana.
Hey, Leo.
Watching. Hello. Welcome.
Well, Wahunta Sain. Yame Shrao.
What Matt
said. Ditto, yeah.
I just said, how are you? And God bless you in tree. So, awesome. Anyway, that's cool. That's cool. People from all over are watching. We even heard that we've got some first-time guests of their first time in church. And like,
welcome.
Yeah, welcome, Jessica. Yeah. I think is watching for the first time. Glad that's you're cool. Here.
Not the pastor, Jessica.
Not different. Pastor.
Okay, but hopefully she's there watching too. So anyway, great. Awesome.
Awesome.
Thank
well,
you so
I'll
much,
leave
Ashley.
It to you guys.
Okay. All right. Give me the. We don't have 6 feet, but let's get all we can get. Okay.
Awesome. Well, we wanted to just update you on a couple things. Many of you were contacted this past week, receiving a phone call. Maybe you got a voicemail, letting you know about just some of the updates of things that are going on. And one of the things we were talking with people about is how we can help them and come alongside you in this time. Maybe you need help with having medicines delivered or groceries delivered to you, or maybe you're not in that category and you would love to help out. So on our church website, mandarinpress.com, you can find a helps button to provide help or need help. Click on that, and you know this is a real opportunity, a season for us to be able to be the light to others. And so we'd love for you to be able to think of creative ways that you can be serving either your neighbors or loved ones in this period of isolation.
I see some people are putting out messages desperate on Facebook saying, I'm down to one roll of toilet paper, right? But I know there's a lot of you that have like 100 rolls of toilet paper at your house, you know?
Yeah.
This could be a place for us to actually share. I think that would be a really tangible way to...
Yeah, I mean, greater love has no one than this, that they would share a roll of toilet paper with another.
You know,
that's the new
I think
translation.
So. And what about small groups? I know that's those have also been affected.
There are small groups that are still happening. Thanks to Zoom, which was alluded to a little bit earlier, we are using that platform to be able to allow people to communicate face-to-face. I learned about Zoom for the first time, confession, this past week. Actually, I knew about it, but I used it for the first time this past week and was able to work through the little hiccups and love being able to see people face-to-face and to be able to communicate, and would really encourage you with your small groups to do that. There are already 20 small groups that are set up to do Zoom meetings.
And more every week are getting set up. And absolutely. So there's a lot of other groups haven't got maybe organized yet that we know of, but we've got some free accounts that you can use with Zoom, you know, or you can set that up yourself. So we're getting that organized, and you can join a new group as well.
Yes.
And so on the website, you can click that.
Yeah. If you're in a small group and want to continue in one, that's wonderful. If you would like to join a small group, we're going to make that happen as well. So again, on the church website, there's a tab that you can click on in order to be able to find out more about all of this that we're talking about now.
And then our last announcement, that we want to give is a new thing we're doing. Coffee talk with a pastor. Tell
coffee
us about
talk.
That.
Coffee talk is going to be fun. Yes.
Yeah.
Starting tomorrow at 10 o'clock, you will have coffee talk with me. So bring a cup of coffee. I love coffee. I know some of you don't care for coffee, but that's okay. You can bring tea, water. You can even be in your pajamas because I won't be able to see you, but you'll be able to see me.
Those will be live streamed on Facebook at every weekday morning at 10 a.m., so right now we've got about 140-something on Facebook, and then we got another 50, 60 or so on the church website. The coffee talk would just be on the Facebook Live.
Correct.
And so Jeff on Monday, Tuesday Jessica, I'm going to do Wednesday, Jen on Thursday, and Chris on Friday. Just a time to tune in, and then you can watch those recordings later if you can't make it at 10. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will be great.
So, all right, Jeff, hoping you can... pray for us. Before I go, kind of go into the sermon, just give us a, just can you just pray over the people and what everyone's going through?
Absolutely. And I just want to say to all of you at home, sometimes it can feel weird praying over the telephone or praying over this video, but there are going to be a couple opportunities that I will leave some silence for you to name names of people that you are praying for or thinking of out loud at home, and would really encourage you to do that. And one of the things I really want to be able to do is, you know, we normally have prayer cards that you can fill out when you're in worship with us. I would ask you to email me how I can be praying for you. Reach out to me through the staff on the church website. You can find my email and send that to me, because we want to come alongside you in the midst of the challenges that you're facing, in the midst of the joys that you have as well. That does not change. But let us pray together this morning. Oh God, we give you thanks for this day, and I thank you for this chance to gather together and worship. God, I thank you that while in our minds we may think worship is one thing, you recognize, God, that we give you worth and praise in so many different forms each and every day in our life. So as we are worshiping together from home and here, wherever it is that we might be gathered around the globe, God, we give you thanks for your goodness and for your love for us. God, I am grateful for the opportunity to worship you and for the sense of community that we feel in coming together, and we ask your presence with us today. God, I pray for healing for those that are sick. I ask your presence with those who are isolated, especially those who are in nursing homes that are on lockdown and they find themselves in rooms all by themselves. God, be present with those folks in powerful ways. Help us to recognize that through a phone call, we can reach out and express the love that you have for them. God, I pray for those who are lonely, for those who might be depressed, for those of us who are exhausted. And God, I know I found myself exhausted at one point this last week, and I thank you for the rest that you have given me to renew me for a new day. God, I pray for those that are out of work and ask your presence with them. God, for your church around the world, you tell us that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Let us be that. Let us be great examples to others of the salt and light that you would have us be. God, I thank you for the opportunity that this time presents, and ask that you would be with each of us, that you would help us to live into those things. God, I'm grateful for the officers of the church, for the deacons and the elders, and give us opportunities, God, to step into those places to serve and lead other people. I pray too, God, that you would help us to love others well, and that we might impact others through the acts of kindness and gestures of goodness that they see in who we are. God, I pray for the leaders of our country, for the women and men who give of themselves to others and are leading us in this time. Be present with them and help them to come together, that they might be able to set aside the differences that they have for the common goal of coming together. God, I pray for the healthcare workers, for the first responders, for those who find themselves on the front lines of fighting the coronavirus. God, I pray and know that all of us have people that maybe we are worried or concerned about, and I ask that you would help us to name those folks now. God, your scriptures tell us to be not afraid, to fear not. Help us, God, to live into the truth of the love that you have for us, recognizing that we need to not be afraid, but to trust in you. God, I thank you for anniversaries and birthdays. And I know that today, God, that Samantha Wilson is 9 years old and Doris Patterson is 90 and Rosa Hurd is celebrating a birthday as well. May we continue to celebrate those special people in our lives. God, we are grateful for those things to celebrate, and you long for us to celebrate. So help us to not set those things aside, but to continue to have those in the forefront of our lives each and every day. God, I pray for those, too, that are traveling and abroad, that you would be present with them and that you would help to bring them home safely. God, you know our needs and our prayers. We are grateful for your love for us. We lift these things up and pray them in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And for you too, Matt.
Thank you.
Prayers for you. Grateful for your bringing the message to us today and glad to be able to worship with all of you at home.
My first time preaching to a camera. This is our through a camera to the people. So thank you. Appreciate you. Okay, everybody, I am so glad to be with you, and I gotta tell you, it's been an adventure just to get to this point where we're ready to preach and to share the word. We had great ambitious plans for so many things we wanted to include in the service, and boy, there's a lot of learning for us in terms of technical things, and we hope in the future weeks to be able to be including music and slides and all these things, but it'll take time for us to learn it all. So it's gonna be real simple. And I'm just going to open the Bible and walk through some scriptures with you and some thoughts. And I hope that they are a blessing for you in everything that we're going through in this wild, wild, challenging time. So what I think would be helpful is for us to look at the life, particularly the later part of the life of the Apostle Paul, the same one who wrote the scripture earlier about he has rescued us from this kingdom of darkness into this kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son, you know, at the same time as he's experiencing suffering and persecution. And so I want to share with you some events in his life that I think are going to be instructive. So the first, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Acts chapter, actually before we go to Acts chapter 21, there's a brief thing to say that Paul, he knows suffering. He knows hardship. Paul was in and out of jail for most of his ministry, just for preaching the word of God, was put in jail. He was beaten up and left for dead like multiple times, and just it was just a rough go of it. And in Acts 16, Paul is actually rescued miraculously from prison. So he's put in prison, and then twice in the same night, through miraculous means, he's God breaks him out of jail, and that's how he experiences rescue, and the presence of God in that moment is getting him out of the hardship. But that's not the one I want to focus on. I think what we need to focus on now is a different kind of presence of Christ through a series of experiences. So beginning in Acts chapter 21. It's a moment where, at 21 verse 30, it's a moment where Paul suffers. It says, "The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions, seizing Paul. They dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd." Did they arrest the crowd? No. "When the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. The commander came up and arrested Paul and ordered him to be bound with two chains." And he gets thrown in jail, and the mob is trying to kill him. Now, I'm imagining him in this moment praying to Jesus, "Break me out of jail again. Get me out of trouble. Get me out of this trouble that I'm in." That's kind of the prayer that I find myself a lot of times praying with this coronavirus. We're like, "Lord God, kill corona. Kill corona dead. Lord, just make it all go away so that we can be just healthy and vibrant again and go back to our lives." And we just pray for an end to the coronavirus. And I think that Paul's in this time, in this prison, praying, "Oh God, get me out of jail again. Break me out." But what's crazy is that something different happens in this time as he's praying. We go, you fast forward a little bit to Acts 23. He gets out, he tries talking his way out of it. This is what happens in 23:10. "The dispute became so violent that the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. And he ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him back basically into lockup. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.'" So here's the nutty thing. Okay, Paul is, I'm sure, hoping for another jailbreak. God, there's people outside trying to kill me. They've got me locked up in chains. Lord, get me out of this mess. But this time, Jesus doesn't take Paul out of the jail cell. Jesus shows up in the jail cell. And I think this is hopeful for so many of us because our worlds have shrunk, right? I mean, we're used to having a lot of freedom, a lot of activities, a lot of social connection and integration. We're used to going to school, going to work, hugging. We're used to being around. But now our worlds have shrunk, and many of us are just kind of stuck in our homes, and we're kind of, you know, holed up in a small place, confined, and we're like, God, get me out of here. Lord Jesus, get me out of here. Well, I think we can take encouragement from this moment where Jesus shows up in Paul's jail cell. And I just want to tell you that wherever you are and whatever you're going through, Jesus is showing up in your home. He's showing up in your life. He's present. And then secondly, this, what does Jesus say? See, Paul is praying probably, Lord, make me safer. But Jesus says something instead to make him braver. He says, take courage, be brave. And I think that's a word for us. When things don't feel safe, is to know that, that God can use this time to develop our courage and help us to be brave. So I hope we'll be brave with our love for other people, finding ways to share, finding ways to encourage, to connect, to be brave and steadfast and faithful in this really trying time. So trials keep on going for Paul, literal trials. He's on trial like five different times and before different judges and kings and governors. And then he finds himself in chapter 27 on a prison ship. I'm thinking about people with a coronavirus stuck on cruise ships. In this case, Paul is stuck on a prison ship on the way to Rome for yet another trial and more persecution in chains. And I'm sure he's praying, God, get me off this boat. And then things go from bad to worse. A hurricane comes. And I know the people here in Jacksonville know about hurricanes. I've seen you guys prepare for hurricanes since the last time, and people are buying water and supplies. I mean, this corona thing feels like we're stuck in hurricane preparation, you know, in perpetuity. Well, a hurricane hits this boat. And here's the crazy thing about when a hurricane hits the boat. See, when a hurricane hits Florida, it's bad, but we know it's going to end because a hurricane passes over the land. Because the land is stationary. But when a hurricane hits a sailboat with no motor, the hurricane pushes the boat with the hurricane, and the boat can just get stuck in the hurricane for a long period of time. And what we're going to read here is actually they get stuck in a hurricane for 2 weeks. Let's read that. So Paul on the prison ship. It says, before long, this is Acts 27, verse 14. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught in the storm and could not head into the wind, and so we gave way to it and were driven along. And as we passed the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. All right, that does not inspire confidence at all. Can you imagine that you're on a boat? And you're in a storm, and you're like, okay, and you're just trying to gather strength. I'm like, well, it's a strong boat. They make these boats for this. And then you see the sailors literally wrapping ropes around the boat, thinking, hey, maybe this will help. Maybe this will hold. It reminds me a lot of the improvisation that people are doing now, you know, trying to build their own masks, or, you know, we're just all trying to figure this out on the fly, how to survive this danger and make it through. And, you know, he watches the sailors do that, wrapping ropes around the ship. It says, because they were afraid they were going to run aground on the sandbars of Sirtis. Now, Paul probably doesn't even know there were sandbars. It's a new language for him. I didn't know to be afraid of sandbars of Sirtis. Now I do. So they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. So they're just dragging the sea anchor behind, and the ship is, it's not strong enough to stop them. They're just still going, and the sea anchor is driving along the bottom of the ocean. It says, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. I mean, can you imagine you're riding on a plane or something? Everyone's like, starts throwing the carry-on bags off to drop weight. On the third day of this hurricane, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. I mean, that's like a bus driver throwing the steering wheel out, you know, out the window. I mean, this is scary. when neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. They got to the point where they're just like, we're gonna die. This is there's no way out of this. We threw the tackle overboard. Just everything has gone overboard, and we're getting destroyed. And they give up hope. And I think there might be some of you that are tempted to do that in this challenge, to give up hope, you know, but don't do that. Don't do that. We're going to learn the story that God is faithful and God can rescue us even from such horrible disasters as this. Verse 21, it said they'd gone a long time without food. Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice." This is his moment to say, "I told you so." You know, you shouldn't have taken my advice and not sailed from Crete. You could have spared yourselves. "But now I urge you, keep up your courage." He's repeating the language that Jesus gave him. You know, take courage. He says, "Keep up your courage. Not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." Not encouraging for people on a ship in a hurricane to say the ship's going to get destroyed, but somehow you're going to make it through. He says, "Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve beside me, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul.'" This is crazy. Again, an angel from God shows up in the middle of the hurricane and says, "Take courage." Now, if I'm in that situation, I am begging the angel, "Angel, hey, fly me off of this boat. Get me off of this boat. Get me out of this mess. Rescue me away from this mess." But instead, in this case, they give him the same provision. God gives him the same provision that he gave him when he was in that jail. He shows up in the mess with him and gives him encouragement. Take courage. So Paul shares this news with other people and says, "You need to be brave. We're going to crash, but we're going to make it. God's got us." Skip down to verse 23. We're in Acts chapter 27, verse 33. Just before dawn, they see landfall coming. Paul urged them to eat. "For the last 14 days, he said, "you have been in constant suspense and you've gone without food." They're just like so terrified. They're not even eating. They're not taking care of their bodies. And that's a word for us, I think, also, to take care of ourselves in this chaos. But "now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive." Now, they're not eating at first. He's saying, "Eat some food." They're not eating. "Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." And after this, he said, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of him. This is the same language that's used at communion when Jesus breaks the bread and gives thanks and gives the disciples. The same word that we use later when the church begins to practice communion. The same language. So it's almost like he's serving communion on the boat in the middle of the hurricane. He breaks the bread and he gives thanks, and then he's giving it to a couple other disciples that are with him. And can you imagine that moment? The 2 weeks of hurricane and there's no steering, you know, wheel on the boat, and they've there's ropes, you know, holding it together, and they're getting battered and nobody's eating, and everybody feels like the world is falling apart. And they just pause and they sit on the deck and they break bread together. That's why I want to serve communion at the end of our service. Even though it's hard and challenging, I just want us to break bread and give thanks and have that moment together. And it actually encourages the people. It says that they were encouraged and they ended up eating as much as they wanted. And then the crazy thing is, after they've eaten bread, they're like, they throw the grain overboard, the rest of the grain. "We've eaten all the bread we can. Now we throw all of our food overboard, just trying to make it as light as possible." And they cut the anchor and they raise the sail and they just try to like ram the boat on. They're just trying to make it up onto the beach. All right, here we go. It's now or never. And they're hoping to make it. They don't make it. They don't make it to the sand. They hit a sandbar out there and the boat starts to break apart. It says the bow hit the sandbar and the aft is getting tossed by the wind. And the whole boat starts to shatter in this hurricane. Still a long ways off from the shore, but they can see the shore. This is terrifying. Now, the soldiers were going to kill the prisoners. The leader talks them out of it. But then he ordered those, this is in verse 43, he ordered those who could swim. If you can swim, jump overboard, try to swim to that island. If you can't, he says, grab a plank. Just grab any piece of wood. The boat's breaking apart. Grab a little piece of ship. Hold on for dear life. Maybe you'll make it to shore. And in that way, everyone reached the land. Okay, this I'm trying to enter into the story. What is it like to, in the middle of a storm, be far off and trying to make it across the sandbars and trying to make it to shore to survive? And as I was reflecting on this, a story in my life came back to me that I want to share with you. It's not an easy story for me to tell because I still kind of have, well, it's you'll hear when I tell you the story. It was a hard moment for me. You know, some years ago, maybe around 8 years ago, my family and I were in Maui, and we were at Napili Bay. And I thought it'd be fun to go snorkeling, so I went to Target and bought like a cheap $20 like set of snorkel gear. And I'm not an amazing swimmer. This guy, but I just said, well, I'm gonna just try it. And I go out there and I take my gear out, and I'm just kind of, you know, it's calm water, and I'm just kind of looking, and I go out in the bay, and I'm not seeing much. I'm kind of over sand, and I know that the fish kind of over by the coral, and so I'm just kind of going farther and farther and farther, and I just see a couple fish every once in a while, but I just kept going farther and farther out to sea as I'm just kind of head down. I look up and see I'm really far. I'm more than 1,000 feet offshore, but things are still calm, and I look. And I wonder, I see that most of the snorkels are on the other side of the bay, and I think, well, that must be where the turtles are. So if the bay is like this, and I'm out here, I'm thinking, well, maybe I can just swim across the mouth of the bay, get to the other side, instead of going all the way back and walking. I think I'll take the shortcut. I don't know if I can swim that far, and so, but I look out, and I see there's these two guys that look like they got some like more professional gear out there, and they're swimming across the bay, and I have this idiotic, hyper-masculine, arrogant thought. I think, well, if they can do it, then I can do it. So I just try to go out by myself with my cheap Target gear and no safety device. There's no lifeguards. There's no ability to get help. And I try to swim across the bay, across the mouth of the bay. It's a long distance across there. And as I'm about halfway up, a storm has been rolling in real fast. And the waves are suddenly like big, and they're strong, and there's rain coming and wind, and it's like the weather has completely changed, and it's gotten rough. And I see those like two professional guys, they're gone. So I'm just out there by myself, and what ends up happening is the waves start crashing me against this coral reef, and I start getting cut up, and I just can't seem to get off of it. The surface is just pounding me against it. And I end up trying to walk across the reef, and I fall on it, and I get cut, and I bang my face, and the snorkel breaks off, so I'm having to hold it with my hand. Now I'm swimming with one hand, and I start to panic. And this is maybe the most afraid I've ever been, and most panicked I've ever been. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't get across this coral. I'm stuck, and there's no more swimmers in the water anywhere, and I'm alone, and I'm pretty afraid. And I'm praying, God, get me out of here. And I think it's a prayer that Paul might pray to get out of jail. It's a prayer we're praying to get out of coronavirus problem. Lord, just scoop me up and rescue me. Just get me out of here. Lord God, rescue me. And nobody comes and picks me up out of the water. No angel picks me up. But I'm yelling help, and I hear a voice. And I heard a voice from a guy far off, and I'm thinking, at first maybe I'm thinking, is it an angel? But I know it's not an angel because it started cussing at me. Okay, so this guy just starts, like, he starts saying to me, what the F are you doing out there? Beep, 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 you know, get out of there, you know, are you trying to get yourself killed? I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. And he says, come get me, come rescue me. And he says, no way, I don't want to drown. And so there's just one other swimmer within earshot, and he is out there, and he's like, got his good professional gear, and he won't come near me because he's my friend. I'm going to drown him in my panic. And he yells to me, you got to swim out to sea. And this seems crazy to me. This seems really counterintuitive. That's not the direction I want to go. He says, you got to swim out to sea, and I got to make a choice. Do I trust my own panicky instinct, or do I just trust this expert? And so I listened to him, and I started swimming out to sea, and it calmed down a bit. I got away from the coral. I stopped getting bashed, and I'm like, get me out of here. And he's like, no, you just have to swim. I'm like, I don't know the way. And he said, the only way is the way you came. There was like this. I just happened to swim this one little channel through the coral reefs, and I had to find my way back. And I didn't know the way. I just had happened upon it. And he said, follow me. And all I could do, I wanted someone to just get me out of there and rescue. I wanted to just go limp and have someone rescue me, but that was not an option for me. My only option was to swim, and there was no other options. So what I did is I just started swimming towards the voice. And he stayed a good distance away from me so I couldn't endanger him. And he just said, follow me, you know, coming. It was moderately encouraging, moderately kicking in the butt with cuss words. But I just followed this guy back through the channel. And eventually, I mean, after a long time, I wanted to give up a number of times. I almost drowned. But eventually I end up and I fall, you know, half my body, you know, out of the water on the sand. I'm breathing heavy. And I hear my wife say, Matt, I think you were out there too far. yeah, I was definitely out there too far. It took me 30 minutes before I could speak again, but I survived. And here's my point with this. I think just like the Apostle Paul, I think I was rescued by God. Not the way I wanted. I wanted God to just make the storm go away, just pick me up, and just magically transport me back to the beach. We all want coronavirus to just snap our fingers, and it's over, and we're out of this. But maybe he's going to send his rescue in a different way. First, God gave Paul presence. He showed up in his jail cell. He sent an angel to show up on the boat. He was there with him in the moment of communion in the middle of the hurricane. Maybe he gave him a plank that he could float to shore on. In my case, he gave me a foul-mouthed Canadian named Doug. And I could follow his voice. But I still had to swim. I think probably that's a word for us, is that we're going to have to go through this. We've got to do the social distancing. We've got to do all the things that are recommended. We've got to endure. We've got to, you know, feed our families. We've got to bless the neighbors and encourage them. But we need to understand that God is present with us in it. We need to listen for his voice. How is his voice in the middle of the hurricane, in the middle of the madness, how is his voice speaking to us? And maybe we've got to quiet down some of the other panicky input that we're watching. I know, just like you, I've been addicted to watching the news and just constant bad news. So sometimes we've got to take a moment to tamper that down and just listen for the still voice of God whispering to us in the madness. We've got to take courage and be brave in it. And we've got to swim and follow his voice. He may not rescue us in the way that we want, the way we pray, but maybe in the way that we need. Maybe at the end of all this, when we are in fact safer, we will also be braver. I hope this is an encouragement to you. We love you. We're here for you. We want to be praying for you and anything that we can do. I hope that you'll be tuning in to the daily coffee times, the evening story time for kids, all of those things. What I want to do now is I want to celebrate communion with you. I'm going to invite Jeff to come on back. And so if you are at home, if you just tuned in, we'd love to have you. You can grab bread from your house, or maybe a tortilla or a bagel or a cracker. That is okay. I've done this before. When bread is not available, it's okay. Just use whatever you have in the house. Just grab something that you can use at home. And then juice, or the closest thing to it. It could be milk or wine or whatever you have. You're invited to do that with us, and we want to partake of communion. I wish we could pass the bread to you, but just what you can do that at home. So we want to celebrate communion together. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you.
I'm going to do this, even though you're going to be doing your own piece of bread, you know, just like everybody at home. Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, the night before he gave his life for us to actually fully rescue us and invite us into his kingdom so that this world is not our end and what happens to us in this world is not the end. He does this. He lifts up bread. It could have been, in his case, you know, flat bread or more similar to what you might be using at home, but he took bread and after giving thanks, just like the same words Paul said on the boat, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same way, Jesus took the cup that was at the table and the meal that they were sharing, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, the new understanding sealed in my blood, which is shed for you." Brothers and sisters, as often as we eat of this bread and we drink of this cup, we proclaim Christ's death and the promises that come with that until he comes again. Brothers and sisters, the body and blood of Christ broken and shed for you today.
Lord God, we know that you are present with us. And we take this communion as a symbol that even though we're out of touch and we're not at the sanctuary in the church together, that you're still present with us. And so whatever bread people are holding at home, Lord, whatever liquid they have available to them, Lord, we just know that it's a sign of your presence. Your Spirit is present with them in all that they face and in the home where they are. And so we want to invite you all to take a piece of bread. And let's do it together. Let's take and eat. In the same way, we take the cup and we drink it together, the cup of salvation in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. We want to close our service by inviting Bill to come join us. And we had problems with other music. We have posted, I think we're going to post links where you can look at the lyrics of on the website to the songs we would have sung if it had worked out. We're grateful for the band, the work they did, and we're hopeful we can get that on soon. But Bill, we just can't have a service with no music. So can you lead us in the doxology together?
Let's all sing together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
We're so glad that you joined us today. And now hear this benediction. May the Lord Jesus, who gave of his own body that you may live, be with you now and cause you to truly live. May the same Jesus who showed up in Paul's cell and on that hurricane boat be with you now. In your home and in your trials, may you take courage from him. May you be brave, and may your faith endure. God bless you. Amen. We're going to invite out Ashley and Brandon to come back out. They're going to do host a little time if you want to stay. And Ashley and Brandon, why don't you guys come on out? And they're going to remind you of some things happening, but also they're going to host some discussion. They can see, you got it working here where you're seeing comments.
Yeah, I can see you right here.
So you guys can interact with people about what the experience was like for them, and we'd love to hear from you guys. So,
yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Awesome. Well, what a great message.
Yeah, absolutely. That was just awesome. So, Ashley, like, if there was just, like, one word you could use to describe, like, what you learned from Matt's sermon, what would you say that would be?
You know, Brandon, I'm really bad at one word, so I'm going to give you a handful of words.
Okay, because that's probably what I was going to do anyway, so that works.
That's good. And as you guys reflect and think, we'd love to see you share as well your thoughts about Matt's sermon and what this means to you today in this season. You know, I'm thinking about his snorkeling story. I keep thinking about times where I've been in the ocean and you know when the ocean just like takes you and you feel like you're tumbling and you don't know which way is up or where air is? Have you ever experienced that?
I'm afraid of the ocean, so okay. I don't actually go in, but okay. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, maybe some of you guys know what I'm talking about as well. And that's kind of what this season feels like. It's hard to know which way is up and what's happening, but I just love how sweet it is to know that Jesus is near to us in the middle of that tumble of the ocean. He's near to us in the middle of the storm. He is not afraid of the storm, right? Like he is brave, and his courage in being near to us and wanting to bind up our wounds is what will give us courage to do the same for others, to draw close to others. Like that, I think that's what stuck with me the most.
That's awesome.
What about you?
Yeah. Well, I was kind of sticking with it, the one word.
Yeah, okay.
Hope.
I'll take your one
like,
word.
Honestly, that was like, it really had to be hope. Just with the, just so much uncertainty and chaos going on right now. It just like I feel like it's good to remember that we put our hope in a God that is bigger than a virus. We put our hope in a God that is bigger than our circumstances, and a God that is never too far to rescue us from whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. And I think that's a message that everyone needs to hear, is that like God is bigger than this virus, that this he's bigger than the circumstances that we're facing right now and the anxiety that we may be feeling. And so for me, that was like my take home point from him, was just like just remembering that there's just hope, and that God is so big. And sometimes we forget that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Sarah shared, and I'll share it with you. She said, thinking about a time in my life when all I did was ask God to get me out and learning that he was with me all the way through, even when I couldn't see them. That he's here now too, and we are safe even if there is a physical danger. Such a comfort. Yeah, I love that.
That's awesome.
You know, it's possible that in this season there are things that that might have been pushed aside in your life, storms that maybe have been kept at bay, unrelated to corona, that feel like they're rising to the surface in this season. You know, maybe because you're in close quarters with your family, or things are happening financially or with jobs or with loved ones, or you're not able to see grandparents in this season, and you're being kept at bay. Maybe there are things that are rising up in your world. And I just want you to know that like Jesus is with you in those storms as well. We're not just talking about corona, right? Like,
yeah. And I think directly related to some of our students, I know a lot of our students are facing, like, prom has been canceled.
Yeah.
Graduation's up in the air. And
yeah, there's so much disappointment.
Big things. And I just feel like this message is so great for even them, for like the, because I think for us, sometimes we forget how important those were to us back then. And so there's a, like, it's not just the sickness. There's so much. It's a domino effect of what this is affecting, and it's affecting all of us. And we need that message of hope.
And how easy it is to just wish it away. But I hope that we as a church can start to ask, like, God, what do you want to teach us in this situation that we could not learn in any other situation? Like, who do you want to show us that you are? Because like we believe that God is good and he is faithful and he is near. And so I believe that God will prove himself to be those things, that Jesus will show up in our lives, that the Holy Spirit will be our strength, right?
Yeah, and I think this is an awesome opportunity for us as a church. I think I talked about it in the pre-service party. I think this is an opportunity for us to be hope to this world, to be a light to this world. When our world is afraid, and we can be brave and find ways to just serve and show people that we serve a God that loves them. And I'm really excited to see what we do as MPC and how we rise up and show Jesus to this world in a time of chaos.
Yes. So. Yes. Well, Jacob suggested an MPC prom, and that everyone can dance 6 feet apart.
Well, we do have to follow CDC. We do have to follow CDC guidelines. Yes. That is a great idea.
That's fun.
Is there any other comments?
We got a happy birthday from Rosa. Some thank yous. Some appreciation for just being able to share communion.
Somebody said they missed the donuts.
And the candy. Peter. You got to get some candy in your house, Peter.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so,
well, we'd love for you to keep sharing anything that has been special to you, or just something, a takeaway from this message as we move offline. We're excited to continue to connect with you. And we're just grateful that church is really not a building, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And continue that conversation with your family at home.
Yep.
This doesn't need to end just because church is ended.
Right, and just a reminder, the family experience for families with kids, we'd love for you to continue learning with your kids. There's some songs and a message on our website for them to enjoy, specific to their age group. So if you find that kids block on our website, there should be instructions for that there.
Yeah.
And then tonight, Pastor Jen at 7 p.m. is going to be reading a reading bedtime stories. So I know Crave's happening tonight, yeah, but absolutely. I'm excited to tune in for the sure. bedtime yeah. story
Who
from Jen.
Yeah.
I wonder what it's going to be. I can't wait.
Yeah, in high school, sorry, I'm not going to be reading you bedtime stories. So, no, but we love you guys, and we can't wait to see you, tune in with you guys next week. Stay safe, and yeah.
Yeah, just keep washing your hands.
Enjoy this time with your family.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.